You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
135-129 Lakers double overtime win against the Detroit Pistons. Pistons did not have Blake Griffin, did not have Wayne Ellington, and did not have Derrick Rose. And the Lakers just found a way to squeak out a win here the night before the Super Bowl. And I'm sure a lot of those Laker players were ready to finish off this game. You still got two more games coming up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You got Memphis coming up. All these are home games, three more home games for the Lakers on this five-game homestand. And overall, I do really take what Anthony Davis said, just happy to get the win. I'm sure coaches as well. Let's jump right into it. By the way, if you want to be a part of the Pizza Lakers postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. But let's just jump straight to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, get his thoughts on the Lakers' double overtime win against the Detroit Pistons.
Hey, Frank, what did you notice after you went up 17 and Detroit started to get their way back into the game and have the momentum shifted as it did all the way through that double OT?
Yeah, well, they, you know, give them credit. They kept playing hard. They got hot from beyond the arc. You know, when you're playing with a lead, you have to have extra attention to the three-point line, and we didn't have that. And you have to have extra attention to take care of the basketball, because a team that's down is going to, you know, increase their pressure. You know, we didn't do either one of those things well enough, and they were able to get back in the game.
Frank, in that double OT specifically, LeBron hits the two-step back threes, AD gets a three. What is it that you're looking to get on those sets, and is it kind of just trusting LeBron in that mismatch and knowing how he's going to get to his shots?
Yeah, I mean, they were just trying to switch everything, so we were ending up in those mismatches, and, you know, like you just said, you know, you trust Bron, you know, whether he wants to take the ball to the basket or if he's given space the way he's shooting the basketball. You know, he made him pay over the top like he's done all year. And, you know, AD's was a different situation with a driving kick from Dennis, another good possession.
It feels like a long time ago, but when Kuz got fouled on a three, it seemed like the bench went nuts and Quinn Cook ran over to you. Was just wondering if there was something going on with that.
No, we just I'm encouraging my guys when they have defenders off their feet, you know, to jump into them and get three free throws. You know, we're missing those opportunities. We had Joker up in the air five or six times last game, especially when it's their best player, to pick up fouls and get themselves free throws. So Kuz finally listened. We have a joke that if somebody does that, they get the day off tomorrow. Okay, so Kuz got the day off tomorrow. We all kind of sort of have the day off anyway, but Kuz earned that day off with that play.
All good.
Frank, you guys have obviously been winning this last stretch, but in some of those fourth quarters, I mean, I'm thinking of Boston and obviously the one tonight, offenses seemed a little tight, maybe taking a lot of jump shots. What do you think is do you see commonality in some of those the execution pieces on offense, and what are ways that you think you can keep up pace when those lulls hit?
That's the key. It's just we got to keep up our full court pace and our half court pace. And, you know, sometimes we slow down and, you know, those guys know as their vets, you know, how to manipulate the defensive covers we're getting and, you know, get something good out of it. It's not always, you know, with great pace, but, you know, certainly, you know, we can be a little bit better there.
Bill?
Hey, Frank, I don't know what you do about this when the game just won't end, but how much are you thinking about LeBron in 80s minutes being 45, 46 minutes tonight?
Yeah, it's on my mind. That's not what we want to do. But, you know, the game on the line, those guys won't be in there.
Dan?
Frank, you said you were a little concerned about kind of the play hard sort of mentality on the recent road trip that came up as a discussion point multiple times. What did you make of the energy, especially in the second half today? And is that something that needs to continue to be addressed?
Yeah, I thought the energy was good to start the game. I actually thought we played, you know, too fast, you know, in the first half. And as a result, we had a lot of turnovers, you know, that were a little bit uncharacteristic. The theme was to try to get back to playing with offensive pace. And, you know, we did. I think we started the third quarter that way too. But you know, once we got that lead, you know, they were able to, you know, just cut into it. You know, by us, they won a few 50-50 balls, led to threes. We overhelped on a few situations that gave them threes, and they were able to get back in the game.
Dave.
Frank, what did you make of Detroit going with Plumlee on LeBron somewhat exclusively down the stretch? And how did you think LeBron handled breaking down that defensive assignment on him?
They won the game. You know, you read the defense. If he's given space, he beats him over top. He's been doing that all year. And, you know, for them to switch everything is really to take away, you know, the two-man game of Anthony and LeBron, which is, you know, in a lot of situations, more lethal than the isolation situation. But, you know, it's a pick your poison thing. You know, I mean, it's not an easy assignment for Mason Plumlee to guard Bron and ISOs. And you saw that, and he made him pay for it. So you take what the defense gives you.
Last two questions, Jovan.
Hey, Frank. Dennis has strung together a few really efficient offensive games in a row. I'm curious, have you seen anything different out there with him, something clicking, something just looking more comfortable?
I think we're all as a team still learning each other. You know, we watch film every day as a group to just see what our reads look like, slow them down, you know, in a film session. And I think he's just getting more comfortable in the offense.
Last question, Rashawn.
Coach, it seemed like you guys were never able really to get into a flow. Do you attribute that to just the turnovers, or was there something else going on?
I'm sorry, you said in the second half?
It seemed like you guys were never able really to get into a flow on the offensive end. Do you attribute that to the turnovers, or what was something else going on?
Yeah, you know, I think our group is a little bit tired. You know, I think we're coming back from that trip. We haven't had a day off. I think we really need a day off. You know, like I said, we're trying to, you know, recommit to playing with pace. And, you know, when we did that, it didn't really, you know, we were playing hard, but we were just a little sloppy. And, you know, we just got to, you know, clean that up and continue to grow.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Let's do this. When we come back, I want to spend a little time. I thought it was interesting what Coach just mentioned right there. Team could be hitting a little bit of a wall. I mean, we're talking about Lakers are now 18-6 on the season. So we're getting close to that 35% of the season through the dog days, as they say in the NBA. We'll spend a little time on that. Lakers double overtime win against the Pistons, 135-129. Stay right here. This is the Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Plumlee tried to dump it inside, and LeBron steals it. Back come the Lakers the other way, 4-on-3. LeBron down the middle. LeBron all the way. Look out! Slam dunk, LeBron. 98-90.
LBJ with 4 steals for the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell had 2 steals. Alex Caruso with 2 steals. Defense to offense. You heard with that highlight with LeBron James. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. For more than 25 years, Adriana's Insurance has been the champion of savings. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers over the Pistons, 135-129, the final score. So a double overtime game. Coach saying right at the end there that he thinks that the team is a little bit tired. Doesn't help. I know I was doing at halftime. Lakers had, I want to say, a 9-point lead. And I heard John Ireland and Michael Thompson during the broadcast just kind of starting to make reference to, okay, you know what, blow this thing out in the third quarter. LeBron and Anthony Davis, maybe these two guys can sit in the fourth quarter. Instead, Anthony Davis ends up playing 45 minutes. LeBron James plays 46 minutes. KCP 42. Dennis Schroeder 41. So you had obviously especially the starters playing 40 plus minutes. And Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Alex Caruso, and THT were the only four players the Lakers used off the bench. You got to just kind of say that the Lakers put themselves in this in their own hole. They had a 17-point lead at one point. So if they lost the game, which, you know, I don't think anybody would be shocked. I think there were plenty of moments in regulation, especially when Detroit took the lead. I want to say in the first overtime, Detroit went up by four. On two different occasions, they went up by four. You thought, okay, Lakers are not going to win this game. And frankly, if they lose, they deserve to lose. But they found a way to squeak it out. And one thing I always remember LeBron and Anthony Davis talk, or I'm sorry, LeBron and Coach Vogel always talking about is every game you want to learn, but you'd rather learn off a win than learn off a loss. Lakers had already lost one to the Detroit Pistons. And I know this might not seem like that big of a deal. Okay, if they lose a game, all right, it's not that the world's not going to end. But you got to kind of start looking, especially as we're now, now 24 games into the season, you got to start paying attention to the standings. And if you look at the standings right now, it's not like the Lakers have any cushion. They really don't. And this is if you're on that side that's trying to say, oh, you got to get home court advantage, which, by the way, who knows? By the time we get into May is when the playoffs are going to start. If there are going to be fans back in arenas, are certain arenas going to have a certain percentage of fans? And we don't have no idea if Staples Center or the state of California will allow it. So I say that because Lakers are 18-6, Utah's 18-5, so Lakers a half game behind the Utah Jazz. Clippers are 17-7 after that home loss yesterday to the Boston Celtics. They're a game and a half behind. So these games matter, believe it or not. You know, on a Saturday in the middle of February, I know it might not sound like these are, you know, these are big deals, but I think I'm just happy, and I'm sure a lot of Laker fans are just happy that Lakers got out of this one, 135-129 in double OT. I wanted to spend a little bit more time kind of getting a little bit further into this. It is interesting how the rotation now has tightened up to nine, and it's Kyle Kuzma, it's Alex Caruso, and it's Talen Horton-Tucker having long stretches where they're all playing together, even with LeBron James in the lineup. I've heard John say this before. He talks about how it was the most efficient lineup in the NBA when it was Montrezl Harrell, LeBron James, Talen Horton-Tucker, Alex Caruso, and Kyle Kuzma. Who would have thought there was ever going to be a point this season where we'd have that type of conversation? But it's good to see Alex Caruso doesn't need to take 20 shots to be effective. Talen Horton-Tucker doesn't need that as well. Kyle Kuzma's got a lot better from that side of the ball where he's more strategic. He understands what's a good shot, what's a four shot. He's kind of starting to understand the game of how to become a efficient role player as well. And I use those three guys as examples. Kuz was 5 of 10 from the field. Caruso, 3 of 5 from the field. And Talen Horton-Tucker, 5 of 8. So all these guys shot 50% or above. Add Kuzma's 6 rebounds. Add Alex Caruso's 2 steals. 4 assists for Talen Horton-Tucker. It's good to talk about, you know, these other Lakers. By the way, Dennis Schroeder as well. These are two straight games. Dennis Schroeder puts up 20-plus points. 22 for him tonight, 7-9 from the field, and the 8 assists and 4 rebounds. The 8 assists, by the way, for Schroeder. You know, that's a part of his game that I've definitely been vocal about this. Can you set up more guys? Can you find ways to get Anthony Davis the ball in the right spot? Can you find ways to get LeBron in the right spot? Or you're driving and you're dishing, you're finding guys for threes. And these last few games, a little bit better on the assist side as well. But offensively, to be 7 of 9 from the field, I think he only had 2 misses in the last game as well. 7 of 9 from the field and 22 points. It's good shot selection. That's Dennis Schroeder finding that's definitely Dennis Schroeder finding opportunities and taking advantage of it. Okay, so when we come back, we'll get a chance to break down a little bit more of this Lakers win. I also want to start looking at the next couple of games for the Lakers. So they got 2 games coming up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So we'll break that down a little bit as well. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. Lakers 72-54 over the Pistons. Points in the Paint. I want to actually point out a couple of these Detroit Pistons players. So Jeremy Grant, 32 points tonight for the Detroit Pistons. I mentioned no Blake Griffin, no Wayne Ellington, no Derrick Rose. So you had a lot of guys that had the green light tonight. Jeremy Grant is one of those guys. How about Josh Jackson? If you guys remember, he was the number four pick a few years back in the draft, and he's already been on a few different teams. 28 points tonight, 11 of 20 from the field. Plumlee, another 15. Wright with 22, so a lot of guys from the Detroit Pistons I don't think we were expecting to come through tonight did come through for Detroit. I did mention that LeBron with a 33, Anthony Davis with a 30. It's good to see Anthony Davis get back on track offensively. It's kind of weird with AD because it's not that AD's been off offensively. He just has not been taking a ton of shots. He hasn't been all that aggressive. He hasn't been... last game, I think he had 8 total shot attempts and 6 free throw attempts. I was telling Michael this in the pregame show. I don't really worry about AD's total as far as his points. I only worry about how many shots did he take. If Anthony Davis takes 20 shots, he's getting 25 to 30 points. But if he takes 8 shots, he might only have 15. So I think it's his point total sometimes that we're most concerned with. I'm sorry, his... the amount of shots he takes is that we're most concerned with. Or if he has a game where he doesn't take a ton of field goal attempts, he got to the free throw line 10, 12, 14, 16 times. That's not unreal as well for Anthony Davis. But it's good to see him just get going offensively. He had 22 field goal attempts. And in a double overtime game, probably that's not even enough. LeBron, 13 of 26. How about those two daggers from LeBron in that second overtime? You know, so much of the time we talk about LBJ. I was telling Michael Thompson this in the pregame show. LeBron, top five now in career triple-doubles in the NBA. And we are going through. And Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, Russell Westbrook. I'm missing one. I'm drawing a blank here. Jason Kidd. And LeBron James, number five. But this is the part of his game that I appreciate and I love so much. He dropped 33 tonight, still got you 11 assists. So it's not like that's the one thing with LeBron James. It doesn't have to be where I can only score, and that's the only way that you're going to get production out of me is just from the offensive side, and it's because I'm taking a ton of shots. With LBJ, I actually never looked at LBJ as a scorer first. I always looked at him as a facilitator first, yet he's passing all these records from a scoring perspective. I mean, that's... You know, sometimes you just kind of you appreciate what he's doing, but it doesn't really come fully into play because of the way he's doing it, how he's doing it. Forget the 33 points and those two dagger threes. Also had 11 assists tonight, and that's just usually what LeBron James does on a game-to-game basis. Okay, I did mention I wanted to take a quick look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So for the Thunder, these next two games for Lakers already have one against OKC. If you guys remember that game, it was early on in the season for the Lakers. Now, I want to say Lakers won by, was it in early January? It was in mid-January, so Lakers already played the Thunder. And they had almost a 30-point win. The only player really the Lakers got to worry about, other than themselves, because with the way the Lakers have come out against the Detroit Pistons, you know, I'm sure the games that don't mean that much are going to be the ones that we're most concerned about with the Lakers. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is really the only player that you have to worry about when you play the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Thunder, they're 10-12. They're 10-12 on the season, so it's not like they're awful, especially because everybody thought they'd actually have a much worse record. Remember, Chris Paul, no longer there. Steven Adams was traded to the Pelicans. There's been a few players that were key. Gallinari is now with the Atlanta Hawks. There's a few key players for the Oklahoma City Thunder that you thought, okay, well, they're going to lose them. This team's going to be an incredible lot. 10-12 is not that bad for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Give you an example. They had a game tonight. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Okay, not too exciting about that. 120-118. Thunder scored 83 points in the first half. 83 points in the first half. But when I say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the only one to worry about, you know, look at his stat line tonight. This is a perfect example. He had 31 points, 7 assists, and 9 rebounds. And everybody else, you know, you had definitely great contributions all the way around. Muscala had 22. But overall for the Lakers, or I'm sorry, overall for the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's the guy you pay the most attention to. If the Lakers stop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they just kind of slow him down and keep him towards his average, which is about 22 a game, then this game shouldn't be a problem. You just want the Lakers to approach a game like Monday, a little bit more sense of urgency. The only team that could really get in the Lakers' way right now is the Lakers. That's it. Nobody else gets in the Lakers' way right now except for the Lakers, and I'm obviously referring to just getting up for games like this. All right, so if you're just tuning in right now, 135-129, the final score. Lakers, a double overtime win against the Detroit Pistons. Might as well do this as well right now. I think we'll get a good opportunity to look at some of the different scores around the NBA. I just mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder game, who the Lakers got for the next two games. A couple good games, actually. The Mavericks and the Warriors, 134-132. We know how much Dallas has been struggling. A two-point win for the Dallas Mavericks over the Golden State Warriors. We'll find a couple games that have some kind of bearing on the Western Conference. 111-106 Spurs over the Rockets. Spurs now 13-10. Bucks over the Cavs. Not a surprise or a shock there. Sixers beat the Nets. Remember, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be without Kevin Durant for the next, looks like for the next 3-4 games, at least until Friday. Contract tracing for him. And then a surprise win. The Sacramento Kings over the Denver Nuggets, 119-104. Denver has now lost two games in a row. They lost against the Lakers, obviously, a couple nights ago, and then lose to the Sacramento Kings. Okay, more on this Lakers-Pistons game coming up next. We appreciate you guys being a part of the Lakers post-game show here. Stay right here, 135-129, the final score. Double overtime win for the Lakers over the Pistons. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers post-game show on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
135-129, Lakers double overtime win over the Detroit Pistons. I feel like the Lakers were ready for the Super Bowl tomorrow. I think everybody has their mind ready to go for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it's a good way to kind of to go out to this game on Sunday. At least they found a way to get that win. There were plenty of times during the game you thought, okay, this is going to be a complete blowout. This won't be close. By halftime, Lakers had a 9-point lead. I think by the start of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, Lakers had a 10-point lead. And the lead had gone up 15, 16, maybe 14 points, somewhere around there. Lakers did have a 17-point lead at one point. But with all that being said, Detroit just kind of kept chipping away. Teams like the Pistons, they got nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose. And they only get a couple opportunities to go up against the elite of the elite, the best players in the world in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, against the champions. And this is what Lakers get. I mean, a lot of times we think that the most challenging games for the Lakers are going to be against the powerhouses, right? You're like, oh, the Clippers, that's going to be a great game. You're on the road against Philly and Boston and Milwaukee, that road trip that the Lakers just had. I told Michael, you know, we were talking about what we thought the Lakers, how we thought the Lakers would do on this five-game homestand. And he said they'll go 5-0. I said, Michael, I think they'll go 4-1. He's like, who are they going to lose against? They're not going to lose against Denver. I'm like, actually, the Denver game is not the one I'm worried about. I'm worried about one of those other games against teams that nobody else is paying attention to. It's common for a team like the Lakers to get bored during the regular season. I'm not saying it's good, and I know there are fans out there that have it in their mind. No, they got to be perfect, and they, you know, you can't take a day off, and you got to respect the game. It happens. And, you know, when I see some of these games on the Lakers schedule, I mean, I'm looking at Oklahoma City Thunder coming up on Monday and Wednesday. Yeah, I could see, you know, one of those two games being close. Why wouldn't it be? The Lakers are not going to approach those games as much as we'd like to think they're going to approach each game every single night and give 110% effort. No, they know that, okay, we don't have to play our best and we could still come out with a win. Now, they were playing with fire tonight. You go double overtime and you just never know what can happen. Of course, you want to, as best as you can, put away a team, and the less minutes that your stars play, the less risk for injury or just wear and tear or just getting tired or whatever the case is. There's a lot of times you do kind of pay attention to that, right? That you do end up looking at the opponent and just hoping that the Lakers live up to some of those expectations. We definitely have not seen that in a few of these last couple of games. But let's see what the Lakers do. You got to feel good about the 18-6 record. You got to feel good about the position that they're in. Is it perfect the way they're winning some of these games? I'll be the first one to tell you that it's not. And I know a lot of Laker fans kind of understand that as well, that the challenge against bad teams is always going to be the challenge. That's always going to be that's always going to be the thing that we pay attention to the absolute most, and we try to see and figure out, okay, is there a way for the Lakers to get through some of these games? And by the time you get into the fourth quarter, maybe you don't have to play LeBron James and Anthony Davis. This definitely wasn't one of those games. Okay, so to kind of give everybody a quick idea here, what we got coming up here for the next five games for the Lakers. Remember, the schedule right now only goes to March 3rd. That's it, March 3rd. And once we get to March 3rd, we will wait to see the NBA will release the second half of the schedule. Lakers will be 37 games in. So the next two against Oklahoma City Thunder, then you got Memphis, a home game at Staples Center. Then you go on two games on the road, Denver and Minnesota. After that, you're going to have some good matchups the rest of the way for the rest of this month. You still got Brooklyn, still got a game at Utah. I mentioned the at Denver game coming up, Portland, Golden State, Phoenix. So you'll actually have some pretty competitive games. So only good stuff to come from a scheduling perspective from the Lakers. Okay, next broadcast this Monday, Lakers and the Thunder. Pre-game coverage on our flagship station, 710 ESPN, begins at 5:30. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. We greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.